Okay. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this word. So, last week we looked at verses 7 through 15. We were looking at the difference between the leaven and the true call. So, the true call, what we've been called to as children of God, verse 13. So we've been called to liberty. Amen. Liberty. All nations in time past were in bondage. All nations were in bondage under the power of darkness, under the lies of Satan. Some thought they were free and thought they were in charge, but they were in bondage to pride and hate and spite. And some thought they were in bondage to man and thought the problem was men. And if only these people would go away, then we'd be free. But they were in bondage to lust and uncleanness and idolatry and witchcraft. So the truth is, all nations in the past were in bondage. Because we are all of the earth. And once Adam and Eve let sin into the world, now the earth has come under a curse. And everyone that is of the earth is under the curse. All nations were in bondage under the power of darkness. But God, at the right time, the exact right time, sent his Son from above to come down to this earth to preach deliverance to the captives. There's only one from above. His name is Jesus Christ. He's from heaven. He's not from this earth. And he came down to foreign soil to bring the liberty of heaven back to the men and women and children who are trapped in the dust of the earth. And Christ came to lift the poor and lift the beggar and lift the needy and lift the wounded out of the dust and set them with the princes of his people. The princes of heaven. He came to bring the kingdom of heaven. You understand? This is the kingdom that's from heaven, and he's bringing it down to man. And that's why Jesus Christ, he looked at those religious leaders in John 8. These guys, they had the holy garments, they had the holy water, the holy cleansings, they had the holy sacrifices. They had the holy anointing oil. They had all the holy physical things. And here's what Jesus said to them in John 8. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Told him straight up, I'm from above, you guys are from beneath. You guys are of this world, I'm not of this world. And you're going to die in your sins, just like your fathers and forefathers. You're going to die in your sins unless you believe I am he. If they could turn from the darkness and turn from their sin and turn from their uncleanness and cry out to God and could finally see who Jesus Christ truly is, that's their only hope. And if they could, there's hope that their sins could be washed, that they could be brought out of darkness and put into the light of Christ and finally become the children of God. The children of the Most High God. No longer running in fear from God because of their sins, but being able to come into the presence of God because of his blood. Because of his redemption. Because of who Jesus is. You know what Jesus was free to do? You know what he was free to do? I love this. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Now look, knowing who Jesus is, that's not good enough. You got to believe in who he is. You can know it, but you got to believe it with all your heart. Okay? He told those religious leaders, you're going to know who I am. That doesn't mean they're going to believe in him, but you're going to know who I am. And notice what he says, and that I do nothing, verse 28, middle of verse 28, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You know what Jesus was free to do? He was free to walk with his Father and always do what pleased his Father. He was free to not seek his own will. He was free not to do anything of himself. Listen, before I came to Christ, I always felt alone. And in that loneliness, I was always trapped. Now you're looking for ways out. And so you try sport. You try education. You try drugs. You try drinking. You try women. You try everything possible. You try movies, TV, video games, ways to escape reality because you're trapped because you're alone. You know you're alone. You know you're alone. You're absolutely alone. You're on your own and you're going to die in your sins, go right back into the earth where you came from. But the one who came from above, he wasn't alone. He was never alone. It says, the Father has not left me alone. He that sent me is with me. Why? Because I do always those things that please him. He was finally free. Now, Jesus was always free from the time he was born. But this is what he's offering us. This is what Jesus Christ came from above down to the earth. The reason why we need Jesus Christ, why Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, because he came from above to open this door into this true freedom where we can finally actually be accepted by God, be loved by God, be part of God's family and never be alone anymore and not have to live in sin and selfishness and strife and darkness and hatred and anger and envying and wrath. No, we don't have to live in that anymore. But now we can finally be free in Jesus Christ. When Jesus said that, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. He's just revealing who he is. He's revealing what makes him different from everybody else. See, he's from above and the Father's with him. He's not alone. He always does what pleases his Father. Wouldn't that be just absolute joy if you could always do what pleased the Father? Always do it, please the Father. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is, and that's what he calls us to. We can do it through him. But here's the key. So we got to believe on him. That's first step. You got to first step, realize who he is, and you got to believe in him with all your heart. Realize, I got no hope except for him. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. I'm never going to find God on my own. I'm never going to find peace with God on my own. Doesn't matter what I do, what ritual, what I drink, what I eat, what I do, nothing. But then, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Why when we come together, why do we always have to go to the Bible? Why do I always go back to what Christ said, what the apostles said? Why do we do that? Why don't we just pray for each other and love each other and just, you know, counsel each other and help each other? And because the truth is we can't really help each other on our own. Our only hope to get where we need to go is Christ's word. So why do we keep opening this book and keep going through this book and seeing it? Because we need to continue in his word. His word is truth. His is the word from above that leads to true freedom. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Listen, we don't need disciples of Adam Caesar. No. We don't need disciples of Adam Caesar. We don't need disciples of Joel Osteen or Creflo Dollar or whoever these guys are. No. We don't need disciples of the great prophet. We need to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we got to keep going back to Christ's word, because the goal is, look, if you're my disciples, well, then if I die or if I leave, you guys are in trouble. But if you're Christ's disciples, then you know what? The Father's not going to leave you alone. And Jesus Christ said, I'll be with you to the end of the earth, to the end of the world. I'll be with you. So if God's got to move me on, or if God takes me out or something, then you keep moving with Jesus Christ, because he's the eternal one. He's the all-sufficient one. We're all just men and women. The goal is that you can become his true disciples, disciples indeed. Again, Lord, come on. The church is such a needful thing. God established the church. But if the church is just people coming together, singing and talking and hearing and then going right back to their old life, the church is absolutely useless. It's absolutely useless. The church, absolutely useless, if that's what it is. Unless we are continuing in Christ's word, both collectively and as individuals, and as married couples, and as families, unless we're continuing Christ's word, and not just hearing it, but laying it to heart and obeying it, we'll never be his disciples. Because Christ, he wasn't building churches that just were going to sit and just learn Bible. or just stand and just sing songs. He's building churches of people that are going to follow him to the end by his grace, that are going to enter his glory. Notice, if we continue his word, and if we're his disciples indeed, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. Oh, Lord, let us know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Lay it to heart. If you're not free, it's not because you can't be free. It's because you don't know the truth yet. Because you haven't continued in Christ's word. Because you've allowed other things to get in the way. You've pursued other things, and it's led you astray, which is why you're still in bondage, which is why you're still trapped, which is why there's no freedom. If you could just continue in Christ's word, and him change your heart, and you believe him, and you obey him, then you'll know the truth. The truth shall. Not maybe. Not most of the time, but sometimes there'll be exceptions. No. Absolute guarantee. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? Verse 34, Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free from sin. Remember Cain and Abel? Sounds like my babies. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain, he brings an offering to God, but he's got the wrong heart, he's got a bad offering, God doesn't accept it. Remember, God is not accepting junk from us. You can't bring what you want your way, and he's going to accept it. Doesn't matter how religious you are, how consistent, how diligent, or how spiritual you pump yourself up to be. It's unacceptable to him. But God warned Cain. He said, listen, if you'll do what's right, if you do what I say, again, what's right is what God says. If you'll do what's right, you'll be accepted. But if not, sin's lying at the door. It's waiting. And it's going to get you. And you know what? Cain had a chance right there to repent and go, you know what? My way was wrong. My heart's wrong. God's right. And my brother who does things the right way, he's not the problem. It's easy when you're doing evil to hate the ones who are doing good and think they're the problems. And they're the, no, no, no. You got it backwards. When we're doing evil, we're the problem. We need to repent. If Cain would have just repented, he could have come into the grace of God. But Cain didn't. And sin got him, and sin mastered him, and sin used him to kill his own brother. Sin used him to lie to God's face. Sin used him to complain and whine as if God was the problem and run away from God and build his own city and build something, a legacy that looked like he was something great, and he died and went to hell. If you commit sin, you're the servant of sin, and sin will bring you to hell. Sin will finish you. Sin will finish you. You won't finish sin. But Christ came and he died to finish sin for us. He died to break the power, shed his blood, so that now we can come through Christ into this glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. When you live in sin, you don't know any better. You don't know any difference. You just think it's normal. If you start walking with the Lord in purity, and you start walking in truth, you know, you hate sin. You don't want it to get on you. You don't want it to get in. You don't want it to get into your marriage and your family. You see how evil and destructive it is. You hate it. Imagine the hatred Jesus Christ had for sin, and yet he put it on him. Took it up. Come on, that's you got to really have great love to press through such great hate. That love has got to almost be beyond the hate. And this is why, again, back in Galatians 5, you've been called unto liberty. This is the call of Christ. Christ come to set you free. And he's the only one. He's the only one. No man can set you free, only Jesus Christ. We've been called to liberty, but notice, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's going to be the power of love that's going to press even through the things we hate to help those in need. Otherwise, if it's not love driving us, then we'll pull back in our own little sphere and trying to create a protective bubble around us because we hate sin so much and we hate evil so much. And we're going to just try and stay away from everything and not let anything get close to us. And then we just see evil in everybody and everything's wrong and oh, no, no. And that's not godliness. That's not spiritual maturity. That's not what Jesus did. If Jesus did that, he would just stay in heaven. He had a place of perfect holiness. No, but his love drove him to press through the hate. Yes, he hates and he loves. But his love for the people and his love for the Father drove him through the things he hated to even take those things on him and come under to serve us so that we might be free. Isn't that great love? You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus, come on. God, we need this love. We need this love. So, that's why he says in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we could truly learn to love each other and actually care about each other, not from a humanistic standpoint, from a godly standpoint, with the new heart of God, being free in God, if we could actually love one another, you wouldn't even need to read the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should read the Old Testament. There's wonderful treasures in there. But you wouldn't need to memorize the Ten Commandments. You just fulfill it. Fulfill everything. Jesus Christ didn't need the Father to be like, okay, listen, Jesus, remember the fourth commandment. Remember what I said? Remember the seventh commandment? Remember Jesus? You remember? What are you doing there? Come on. Oh, sorry, God. You know, no. His heart was a heart of love. He fulfilled all the righteousness of the law, heart, spirit, soul, mind, body, everything, blameless. He didn't need a law hammering him, you know? Now look, sometimes we still need the law to hammer us because we're still carnal. But if we could get to where we're spiritual, you'd be free, and you'd be by love, serving one another, pressing through the things you hate to reach the souls in need, the ones that God sends you to, and never compromising the truth of God and the glory of God, because Jesus never compromised. That's the big thing I'm seeing nowadays that's really a trap. This thing is out of balance, and naturally we tend to get out of balance, naturally. That's not spiritual, but naturally we do. So here's what I've seen. I've seen either the hatred is outweighing the love, and it's just a lot of condemnation. It's a lot of we're not willing to help. We're pulling back into ourselves. And then you're going to get swallowed up of yourself. And it's no good. So you try to create this protective bubble of just you and your family. But before you know it, you and your wife are just devouring one another. You and your children are just dishonoring. It's just, it's no good. And he's just criticizing everybody and finding fault. And it's just, the whole thing's crumbling. That's why I said in verse 15, he's warning them, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. So if you let the hate outweigh too much, that's what happens. But on the other side, there's the false love where it's all love, 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 love. But then what's happening is people are compromising the truth of God. They're compromising the gospel. They're compromising the glory of God. They're compromising the word of God in the name of love. And that's not good either. That's false love, and that will fail. And actually what that kind of love is that's where you actually just open up yourself to everyone and everything that you shouldn't. Instead of being open to the one, and then the ones that the Lord has really set before you to be open. You know, we're not just supposed to open our hearts to everyone. There's people that the Lord has put in our lives, that He has put in our lives, that we can confide in and open and get counsel and get prayer and get support. And we need to take advantage of that. The Lord gave me a dear brother in this country. A dear brother. And at times when I got nobody I can really open these things up to. And it's not that like, it's not like I'm willfully like, no, I'm not going to open. I'm too good. It's not a pride thing. It's literally just I'm obeying God, and He is not leading me to open up to any single person in my sphere, because they wouldn't be able to handle it. It'd be taken the wrong way. It'd be misunderstood. But this dear brother, every time I was like almost at my breaking point, somehow he would just call me, or I would call him, or somehow we would just get in touch. He'd be like, brother, how are you doing? What's going on? And it's just, and I could just open up, and then we pray together, and then it's like you get the strength back to press back in, you know? And it's like, so I've seen this when it's all about love, and there's no hatred of sin, and we're not holding on to godliness, what ends up happening is actually people are just opening themselves up to all the people they shouldn't. And the people that God's given them, they're closed off to, and they got bitterness again. And it's just, so listen, we've been called to liberty. If anything is hindering your liberty, and again, true liberty, not liberty for me to just be happy and just have a nice little life and everything, and I got all the money and all the things I need, and I'm free, that's a bunch of garbage. No, we're talking about the true liberty of Christ. Because that's not liberty. I've seen those people are trapped in those lives. They are trapped in those lives. I've met people, they have everything perfect in their life. You go, like, I'm talking about outwardly. They got everything you could ever heart's desire, and there's no love in that home. There's no hope. There's no joy. They're bound to all the things they have to serve and all the things they have to do. That's not liberty, okay? So we're talking about the true liberty. Where you can walk with a clean heart before God and a clean heart before men. And if there's a problem, you can speak with a brother about it. It might be uncomfortable, but you can speak with him about it. If there's an encouragement that's needed, you're free to give that encouragement. You're not so trapped in yourself that you're just, it's everything's about you, but you can encourage that person. You can, you know, to walk in that liberty. This is what we've been called to. But it's only possible through the love of Christ and the obedience to Christ's word. It can't just be love, but it can't just be, you know, it's all obedience, but there's no heart of love. You know what I'm saying? It's like we got to continue in His word, and it brings us more into His love, and it sets us free. So if you find yourself bound, if you found yourself trapped, then cry out to the Lord and do everything it takes to get back to where you're free again in Christ. Do whatever it takes. And the Lord will show you. The Spirit of the Lord will show you, which is why in the very next verse, verse 16, Paul goes on and he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's going to be the key. How do I stay free? Walk in the Spirit. Christ has not left you alone. He's left His Spirit, the very same Spirit that filled Christ and led Christ everything. Again, the Spirit doesn't just lead you to nice places. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and be tempted of the devil. But the same spirit that led him there gave him the power to resist and develop character and overcome things and bam, and then send him back in the power of the Spirit. The same spirit that led him to bless people also led him to cry out against the hidden sins of the Pharisees and just denounce them in front of the whole nation. Warn them of the damnation of hell. The exact same spirit. And the same spirit that led him to the cross to literally just give himself. I read yesterday with Adelaide the crucifixion account. And I'm just going, wow. How mighty was Christ? How patient was Christ? How temperate was Christ? I mean, he just let him punch him and smack him and whip him. And he didn't get indignant at all. He didn't once fire back. Just completely yielded to the Father. And yet, you better believe, he wasn't in defeat. Like, oh, no. No, dude, there was an intensity in his eyes. So much so that even after they beat him and whipped him, they brought him to Pilate. Pilate's trembling before Jesus. And he's going, oh God, what do I got to get out of this thing? I'm stuck in this thing. What is there any way out? An intensity, a fire of God in his eyes, okay? This is the Lord Jesus. Went all the way until the thing was finished. And the same spirit that led him to die raised him 3 days later, never to die again. Raised him 3 days. Conquer all his enemies. Come on, this is the Spirit of God. So Paul says, listen, walk in the Spirit. And guess what? And ye shall not, that's guaranteed, not you might not, or sometimes no, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Is the flesh winning in your life? Are you fulfilling the lust of the flesh in some areas of your life? Well, you know what? You're not walking in the Spirit then. Notice, he didn't say talk about the Spirit. He didn't say pray to the Spirit. He didn't say name it and claim it in the name of the Spirit. No, he said walk. Okay, this is why the church can't just be a bunch of talk. If it's just a bunch of talk, there's no victory. The Spirit of God's not there. So forget it. So unless we're walking, there's no victory. Walk, action. Remember, Jesus said, if you continue, continuance always is action. It's hearing and obeying, hearing and obeying. And he says, if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So one thing that's really annoyed me for years is people who know the Bible well and claim to just know the Bible and the Bible's everything and love the Bible, and yet they are just living in absolute defeat. It's one thing for a lost person who knows nothing. I don't expect anything from them. They don't know any better. But someone who's been in church for years and they know the Bible well and they live in defeat and they speak as if all their challenges and their obstacles are so great that it's like there's no hope for them. They can't even see hope. They can't even see the light of day. And I'm going, so you really believe that the flesh is greater than the Spirit of God? That's what you're saying. You don't realize it, but that's what you're saying. You're saying the flesh and the world and the devil and all these things, it's too powerful. I can't get victory. That's an absolute lie. He just said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You better get this thing once and for all. Get this thing. The Spirit of God is so much greater and more powerful than the flesh, the world, the devil, whatever. By the way, the world is just a bunch of people of flesh. And the devil, he's just a rebel spirit being who's just trying to use flesh to exalt flesh. So let's not, you know what I'm saying? Well, the world, the flesh, the devil. No, look, in the end, it's just flesh, okay? It's just a rebel spirit being. And you're trying to say that these things are more powerful than the Spirit of God. You need to repent. How can you claim to know the Bible and know God and keep honoring the flesh as if it's so great and I can't get victory? That's a bunch of junk. He said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at this, verse 17. Understand, the flesh and the Spirit are enemies and they're at war. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It's both ways, not just one way. It's not like the Spirit's like, oh man, I love you, flesh. Don't worry, I'm just trying to help you, man. No, no. The flesh hates the Spirit and the Spirit hates the flesh. They're warring against each other. They're pushing against each other. Again, lust. When you look at the word lust, the lust is like desire. It's the driving desire, the driving will. What really drives you? What you lust after is what you end up in. And you know what? The Spirit is lusting for holiness. He's lusting for righteousness. He's lusting for truth and love and joy and peace. And the flesh is lusting for selfishness and for me and for all the things that please me. And they're fighting against each other. They are contrary the one to the other. You cannot serve both. So you got to pick. You got to pick. Which one am I going to walk in? You got to make that choice. He says these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And here's what he's revealing. He's saying, look, even if you're born again, and you got a new man inside of you, if you're giving place to the flesh lusts, the lust of the flesh, if you're following after the flesh's lusts, then even if you want to be free, you can't find it. Even if you want love in your life, you go, I wish I could just have love, there'd be no love in your life. Even if you wish you could have joy and peace, you'll never find it. Why? Because you are allowing the lust of the flesh to lead you. That's what you're walking in. So the solution is stop walking in the flesh. Stop making, by the way, the flesh will make excuses. That's one of the great ways of the flesh. Again, there's different types of fleshy people. Some are prideful and they're going to do it their way and they're not going to bow or bend. But some just oh, make excuse. Oh, make excuse. Oh, this, but what about, but blah, blah, blah. It said, be quiet, stop, shut up, and just walk in the Spirit. Stop making excuses. The flesh loves to make reasons why it can't walk, why you can't die and walk in the Spirit. It's a lie. It's a lie. The Spirit is stronger than the flesh. You say, how do I know? Look at the resurrection. Look at the cross and resurrection. Spirits lean. Look, Jesus' flesh didn't want to die. You think, come on. Whenever you are somebody who is superior to others in a certain sphere, okay? And now look, none of us should think above ourselves, above that which is matter. Okay, we got to stay humble. But I'm saying it's just a reality, okay? If I gather with a bunch of pianists, okay? If someone is the greatest pianist there, and if all the other pianists are like, what about this? And you study that, and well, I don't think, and we're coming again, and just like, and I'm mocking it. Like, it's natural to just rise up. Who do you think you guys are? Are you kidding me? Like, when you're better than everybody else at something, and you know you're better, the natural thing is put them in their place. You know what I'm saying? How much more the Son of God who created everybody, and these guys are making fun of him, mocking him as if he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just some illegitimate child of fornication. You think the flesh of Jesus wanted to submit to that kind of mocking? Scripture says he despised the shame. He didn't love the shame. Wasn't like, oh yeah, I can't wait to be stripped naked and lied about and beaten and smacked and just love them so much. Like, no. He hated that shame, but he pressed through that cross. Why? Because the Spirit of God was leading him, and he knew the Spirit's greater than the flesh. And even if they rip my flesh, and they tear my flesh, and they gnash upon my flesh, and they crucify my flesh, I'm rising 3 days later. Remember at the very beginning of his ministry, he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Come on, come on, I love it. Destroy it. He's going, do it. I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Why? Because God is a Spirit, and he's walking in the Spirit. Amen. Come on, we got to get over this lie of the flesh. We pamper the flesh, even with babies. Sometimes I get sick of how we treat babies. Like, yeah, we should be gentle and we should care for them, but sometimes I think we're really pampering these babies. Just be selfish, carnal brats. And sometimes you need to whip that baby's behind and just knock it off, settle down, go to sleep, okay? Seriously. Oh, sweetie, and blah, 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 blah. Okay. No, like, I'm not saying we should be harsh jerks. Sometimes there's time to, and love, but like, yeah. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why verse 18. Love it, verse 18. He said, but if ye be led of the Spirit. Notice, he doesn't say you're not under sin. That's a given. But he's trying to show you, because remember, the root problem with this church is they're trying to be seduced back under the law as if that's the holiness of God. Come on, Africa is filled. It's filled with so many churches that think the key is the garments they wear, that think the key is the water that they sprinkle, that think the key is they honor the Sabbath day. We meet on Saturday. Therefore, we are holy and the rest of you are going to hell. They're putting confidence in the flesh and in the law. Paul says, man, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And guess what? When you're not under the law, sin has no power over you. Romans 6, verse 14. Because according to 1 Corinthians 15, the strength of sin is the law. That's actually what strengthens sin. Which, by the way, that was God's plan from the beginning. He gave the law to strengthen sin and sinners. So that it would become so strong. And especially in those chief priests. He trained those chief priests to just be cold-blooded killers, to just kill blood day after day, innocent blood, kill blood, not even think twice about it. Say, here comes a spotless Lamb of God. Strengthen them in sin so that through the law they would just kill the Holy One so that through that death we could have redemption. Come on now. He strengthened them. And then through the devil's own devices. Now, by the way, it's not that God wanted them to follow Satan, but he knew. Satan's already got a foothold, and I'm going to just strengthen this thing till eventually Satan's going to think I'm winning, and he's actually breaking his own neck. His own head's being crushed in this thing. Come on. You strengthen him. Because if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. And if you're not under the law, you're not under sin. If you're not under sin, because sin's got no power anymore, then the flesh is not winning. And you're not seeing the works of the flesh in your life. So that's why verse 19 through 21, he shows you the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are all the sexual sins. Those are all the fleshy, like touch, feel, you know, stuff. But then he goes to, look at these, idolatry and witchcraft. Those are the quote-unquote spiritual sins. They seem like they're spiritual. They're not spiritual. It's flesh. It's flesh. Idolatry is me exalting an image. It's exalting something I can see. That's flesh. Witchcraft is me rebelling against the Spirit of God. I'm not going to listen to the Spirit of God, but I'm going to find the secret keys and answers in the spiritual realm. And witches and wizards, they live in sin. They sleep around. They whore around. They everything's for money. They're always charging. How come they're always charging you? If they were free by God, why are they charging you money? That's because they just want money for themselves so they can buy food for their belly so they can take care of themselves. It's flesh. Witchcraft is flesh. It's not spiritual. And then all these relational sins, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. These are all relational sins. Sins that get placed in the heart. These are works of the flesh. And then, of course, the party ones. Drunkenness and revelings. You know, people just trying to just pretend like we're kids still. Just not grow up and not own up. But we're just going to keep pushing it off, keep pushing it off, keep pushing it off. And he says, this is just all flesh. He says, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are living in these works of the flesh, and this is like your lifestyle, but you understand, you're not headed for the kingdom of God. You're headed for hell. You are not headed for the kingdom of God. You're not going to get in if you continue on that path. Now, praise God, Jesus Christ came so that we could repent. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Look at your life. Look at what the flesh has done. Look at where it's led you. And repent. I'm bringing you something so much better. I'm bringing you the kingdom from above. I'm bringing you victory and peace and joy and love. And yes, there's going to be sufferings. Yes, there's going to be trials. But press through. There's an everlasting kingdom. And so you can repent and get on the right path. But understand, if this is who you are, if this is the works you're living in, you're not headed for the kingdom of God. You got no part of Jesus Christ. He has no part of you. That's why Jesus told those people. And again, they're preaching in his name. They're prophesying his name. They're doing wonderful works in his name. They're convinced they know Jesus. And he's going, I never knew you. Depart from me. I once knew you, and then you laugh. No, depart from me. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. See, they were workers, the works of the flesh. They were workers of iniquity. They had iniquity in their heart, and they worked it out. They worked it out. That was their life. That was who they were. So that's why, again, God's not impressed with if you have a great worship session. He's not impressed if you have a great prayer meeting. He's not impressed if you go out of the streets at night and you do spiritual warfare. This stuff means nothing to him. Have you surrendered, repented, died to the flesh, come into Jesus Christ, and are now you walking in the Spirit of God? That's the only thing that's going to matter. Because, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. See? But. So those are the works of the flesh. We know the works of the flesh. We know where that leads. It's going to lead to hell. But the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, isn't this what everybody is actually craving in a sense? I know the devil corrupts it and our own hearts deceive us and corrupt us. But honestly, I believe God made human beings to desire love, to desire joy, to desire peace, to desire long-suffering and gentleness. You know, do you want someone over you who's like always whipping you and hateful and angry and lashing out? Or you want someone who's gentle, who can teach you and guide you? Goodness. You want people who are just sitting there like evil-willed all the time trying to find a way they can get you? Or you want someone with a good heart who's trying to, you know, faith. Do you like when your children are always, well, what about this? Why are you going to do that? Are you going to blah, 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 blah. Be quiet. Don't you have any faith? Don't you have any faith that I've provided for you, that I love you, that I care for you? You know what I'm saying? Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Watch this, verse 24. And they that are Christ's, not will, not might, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if you haven't crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, you might not be Jesus Christ. Because what he just said, they that are Christ have. Not will, not one day, now it's an ongoing process, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's what he said by the Spirit of God. I'm going to believe Paul. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So again, when you're truly in Christ, you've been crucified. You've been buried. You're risen now. So now you live in the Spirit, and now he's going to walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Okay, so he's not saying that you might not ever give place to the flesh. That's why we have to walk. That's why we have to actively walk. But understand, you don't have to be crucified. You've already been crucified if you truly belong to Jesus Christ. You've been crucified with the affections and the lust. The thing's already dead. So stop playing with dead things. It's buried. Stop digging up buried things. Leave it and walk forward in the Spirit. That's what he's saying. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And notice, again, he wants to put this point in. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Please, God, keep us humble. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Whenever you see provoking or you see envying, there's vainglory. Understand, someone's pursuing vainglory. And again, provoking, you'll provoke those who are lesser than you. I mean, maybe if you're really twisted, you provoke someone greater than you. I guess sometimes that can happen. But usually, more natural is someone who's lesser or weaker than you, you'll provoke them. And usually, envying is when someone's greater than you in a certain area. And instead of admiring them and learning from them and growing from them and allowing them to bless you and giving thanks for them, you envy and you hate and you need to turn all dark and all that stuff. So, yeah. Any questions or thoughts before I wrap it up? That's one thing I love about Jesus' ministry is he wasn't just like in one church for 3.5 years. His ministry was so action, it's going. And so it's like, if you were going to keep up with Jesus, you literally had to walk. You literally had to follow. Like, you had to keep up, like, spirit, soul, and body. Not just spirit and soul, but the flesh is comfortable. We always know exactly where we're going to meet. We know exactly the time, and everything's going to be perfect. Like, you had to be... I love it. Amen.